Steve. Thank you, Helena. And now with that, I call up Andrew Block. Just put together a whole fusion camp, and now he's going to preach the word to us. Looking forward to it, bro. Come on. Come and preach it. Are you going to try to preach it? Good luck. God bless you, brother. I would be honored to pray for you, along with the rest of the church. Maybe you just want to stretch out your hands. Hey, we got Andile there at the back, who is on the camp as well. Good to see you tonight, brother. Sorry, I know you're all stretching your hands out, so I won't keep you much longer. So keep them stretched out, all right? Thank you, Lord, for this brother, for this man that is a gift to us, Lord, to this church, to this house, and to so many, Lord. And we thank you for the gift in him, the teaching gift that is in him. We want to draw on it tonight, Lord, that it would lead us into our destiny. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint his words. His words would be your very words, and that you would open up our hearts. We recognize him as a gifted man, not because of his age. We don't say, oh, you know, how can he teach us because of his age? We look to the gifts. We honor the gift over his life tonight, and we receive his gifts as a gift from you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome, bro.
Cool. Good evening, everybody. I wrote a little introduction, actually. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, sons and daughters, kings and queens, sojourners and citizens of heaven. I'm so thankful for this delightful opportunity to share my heart tonight. That sounded pretty cool. This has been an interesting preparation for this message tonight, and people do this before they say their message, so I'll just add it in. A lot's been going on in my heart. It's been really cool, so I know it's not the best introduction ever. I've been studying homiletics at the moment, which if some of you here know is the study of preaching. So trying to fit that into how we do our church services is an interesting predicament. You can't say ums. You have to have a single idea that you bring across, and you can't just flow prophetically and just be led by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to break the rules tonight. I think God likes changing the rules. Something first I just want to share with you guys. If you know, this isn't the topic tonight, but Moses, if you know the whole story, the Egyptians come out of Egypt. Moses is kind of like in a relationship with God. Moses figures out that it's about relationship, and he starts on this journey of just connecting with God. Through and through, eventually God says, I want you to go down the mountain and tell all the Israelites. I want you to be, exact words are, it's in Exodus 19, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. So tonight I felt like Moses, in a sense, coming down from the mountain. And I feel that I have a message that's come out of the secret place, just from relationship with God. And I'd like you guys to consider the story and learn, because the Israelites, they're like, yeah, we'll do it all. We want that. We want to be a holy nation. We want to be priests. That sounds amazing. Then Moses goes up. God tells him a whole bunch of stuff. He comes back down. And then they say to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak to us directly or else we will die. Now, obviously, it's an old covenant. There's different boundaries to that. But the Israelites, in a sense, rejected the opportunity to enter into relationship with God. God didn't want the Levites to be the only tribe that were the royal priesthood. From the word go, Israel was set apart to be his kingdom and his people. So the law came out of that whole scenario there, just as a good teaching point. What does an entire nation look like that could carry the presence of God? Imagine Israel got it right and just figured, you know, there's smoke and cloud and it's a bit scary, but we're gonna accept that. We're going to be his kingdom. We're going to be his people. We're going to be his royal priesthood. So tonight, I just want you guys just to open your heart to that, to get a greater picture of, you know, almost being at that place where Moses comes down from the mountain, shares something with you, and you kind of say, yeah, we're going to make that our own. Cool. So, beginning of the year, I preached Thanksgiving is a platform for revival. So I'd like to demonstrate some of that. Firstly, say thank you to Steve and James. I don't know who really thought up giving me the opportunity, but thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you to Zama, who I just gave him some copies of stuff that you'd get later, and he just did it with the flash. And then when I felt to go check on it, I turned around and it was lying behind me. It was just amazing, like just really confirming to be supported. Something else, just slightly, just thank you to my dad, just for all his support. Nat, I don't know if I've ever said it from a mic before. But something cool he did for me this week, and I'm sure it was you, got in my car today, a little bit stressed that I didn't have petrol, and I put the key in, and it just went on and on and on and on and on. So thank you very much, Dad. That was really, really cool. And that's how I got here tonight, for petrol. Yeah, just thank you to this church. I really want to just thank God for what he's doing. Like, just lift the whole atmosphere. Like, there is so much to be thankful for. We live in unbroken fellowship with God. We're not like the Israelites who have to experience God with smoke and thunder. You know, he's more tangible and more polite. Now we get gold dust and people shake, but we're still scared. It's strange. I've always dreamed of giving a victorious speech, much like Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, not Smith, he's a cool guy. And, you know, this is some form of that. You guys are a bunch of powerful people tonight. And when you speak to powerful people, it's a forum of great discussion. This is a, you know, like a birthing place. Whatever gets captivated here can go out and change the world. That's why people don't take preaching lightly, because it actually influences people. Then I know she's waiting for this. I love you, Jen. You're amazing. I'll come back to you during it, so don't worry. You're part of the preach. So tonight, the single meaning that I'm preaching on is dreaming. My inspiration comes from a book by Andy and Janine Mason called Dream Culture. Give you a brief story that I'll try to tell really quickly. I love Danny Silk. Anyone who knows me will know that I love Danny Silk. Danny Silk is one of the senior leaders at Bethel Church in Redding, California. I listened to everything Danny said. I was so stoked. I was like, I want to intern under you. Like, I'm just going to phone you and just say, I want to come work for you. I was just like so blown away. I didn't even know what to do. Spoke to James about it. He was like, cool, let's see how it goes. Anyways, then I found out Danny has an intern. And I was like, no ways. I was like, this gets better. This book is the, what do you say, production of Danny's intern, Andy. So, you know, like, do I contact Andy now and chat to him? So Danny's all about this culture of honor. And then his intern's all about this dream culture. So it's just been a really cool journey for me on that, just to share, open up my heart so you can know where this is coming from. Cool. A quote by Andy Mason is, "If you want to live in a different future, then your present circumstances reveal, then you need to think differently, speak differently, and act differently." Ooh. the definition of a dream from this book is, a dream is a picture of the future that I want to live in someday. A dream is a picture that I want to live in someday. How many people here, by that definition, have a dream? How many people here, people who, example, you read the newspaper, oh, so much crime, so much, oh, taxis, potholes, da-da-da-da-da, you know, whole shenang, South African lingo. What they, in essence, are saying is they have a dream of what the country could look like, but the only tool they know is to complain. And we all somehow believe that in complaining, someone else will fix the problem. The government will fix itself, you know, somehow. So we just complain about it. We never, ever dare to dream or challenge people. Like, oh, you know, there's so many potholes. Well, why don't you make that a dream? You know, a country that as soon as a pothole arrives, within a day, it's filled. Sounds pretty cool. Sounds like Singapore to me. Culture. So we've defined dream, culture. It's quite a hard word to clearly describe. But I'd say it has to do with community and mainly what people value. Value being lifestyle habits, mannerisms, beliefs, and worldviews. So culture is what you value. What makes us different to Americans? What makes Americans different to the English? Rugby. Yeah, that's a simple illustration. We value rugby, and the Americans don't. It's a simple, they're lost. You know, and they love it. They think it's amazing. We love it. We think it's amazing. How would you feel if someone else believed in your dream more than yourself? Dreaming is an invitation from God. A letter written by his own hands, which reads, so the first heading would be, the desires of your heart. So often we say, God, what do you want for me? What's your plan for me? And often he's already put the plan inside of us. And he's saying, you know, my son, my daughter, what do you want to do? I mean, I don't know how many of you have ever got a Christmas present before, but I've never, ever heard a child say to their dad, what do you want to give me for Christmas? Kids don't say that. You know, they want to know what they're getting, so is it right as what they want? But kids only care about what they want. You know, like if the dad says, oh, I'm getting I know it was quite a bad attitude on my part, but I got a boat for my birthday, like a blow-up boat, and I wasn't really stoked. And I told my parents that, and I wasn't really thankful. But honestly, if they asked, I could have very easily communicated that I don't want a boat. You know, and it's actually turned out to be quite a fun blessing and had some fun with it, just to throw that in there. So dreaming is an invitation from God. So maybe you want to just close your eyes quick. Just picture God giving you a letter, could be sealed in an envelope, probably with some wax. Just an invitation, and on the cover just says dreaming. And you open it up, and it reads the desires of your heart. Cool, thank you. God wants me to dream. He is so good that all the resources of heaven are ready to meet my needs and fulfill my dreams. Now, some of you are like, whoa. We'll get to that. You're saying, why would God get all his resources to fill your dreams? Isn't that a bit, you know, selfish or I don't know the right words. God journeys to find my dreams and make them known to the nations. As a father, he wants his children to rise from poverty, to rise from depression, and excel in the ways of royalty. Came through, the whole, worship was just, he's the King of Kings. The King of Kings, the King of Kings. And thank you to the musos. We asked Dom and Rhoda to lead on our youth camp, and they couldn't do that, but they were still here tonight. It's crazy. I was like, wow. The King of Kings. And you're the son and daughter. That makes you really rich. You're not called to poverty. You're not called to count the cents every month and continually worry about your bank statements. It's a joke. You know, if you knew how much you had, you would laugh at yourself. If you knew the opportunities and the dreams waiting, would just raise your whole countenance. To read some quotes, Martin Luther King had a dream. Gave a speech, I think it's to 200,000 people. That is correct. I don't know. It's a lot of people, whether or not it's the right number. And he really, I think, if I'm correct, almost the words he said was put into the American Constitution, and they said it out. You know, they said, Jews, Gentiles, black, white, everyone should be equally referred to, or equal, in the whole country. But what is amazing is that that dream hasn't come to be yet. Unless you live in heaven, there's not equality on the whole earth at the moment. So he had a dream, and the power wasn't in the dream fulfilled, but the power was in his dream spoken and released into a community of people that would hopefully create a culture. So a lot of us, we battle that our dreams aren't fulfilled, but the reality is the power is in the dream itself. It's in the hope that it brings. It's in the life that it brings. It's the journey to the dream. For me, the biggest problem is once it gets fulfilled, I always say, like, now what? Through there, I had life, I had hope, and as soon as it got fulfilled, I actually needed to have another dream to carry me on. Because the goal is not to fulfill dreams, but it's rather to live in a dream culture. That if my dream gets fulfilled, I'm going to maybe find someone else who has a very similar dream and make it my dream to see their dream fulfilled. Another amazing man my dad often refers to is Yong Ki Chow. They wrote about his life. He had a dream he's from South Korea, and he had a dream from, he's really young, kind of like stricken poverty. The Japanese had just left the country from an invasion that they had, finally overthrew them, kicked them out. The country was just useless. A lot of people complained that the Japanese were actually better at ruling the country than the Koreans themselves. There's just no food. It was just like poverty stricken. So Yong Ki Chow had a dream. Anyways, quite a few years later, he had a church of about 100,000 people, and God just unpacked on his heart to change the whole of South Korea. And they would have something like 12 services a day, and yeah, it was just like a revival coming through. And that's a young boy who, from a place of poverty, realized there's something greater than this. God has not called this country to poverty and to be war-stricken. Rather, there's like a royal call. Churches of 100,000 people. I don't know anyone who's done that before, ever. and like it sustained. It wasn't just a once-off movement or a once-off service or a fly-by-night. And to give you some scripture background to dreaming, Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." And I love the NLT version because it says, "But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. A lot of us here, there's areas in our life right now that are sick in that sense. Not sick as in bad, but just hope has been deferred. Where we've hit a wall. As the life coaches would say, we've hit a crazy eight. And we're stuck there. And hope's been deferred. Or if we had a goal and we've missed the mark and we're heading in another direction, whether passively or actively, we're still moving in some direction. And something inside of us just doesn't feel like we're living as we should. So I want to encourage you, from a place of hope being deferred, to do the following. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says, I think it's quite cool how it ties up. "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it." I feel like God's answering a lot of you now, not from what I'm saying, but just in areas of your life. And I know that what he wants you to do is write out the vision. Write out the dreams. Make them known. I don't need to teach you guys how to dream. I don't think anyone can. It's birthed inside of you. The whole world knows how to dream. Kids are like dreaming machines. Problem is, we grow up and we don't value dreaming. Whoa. And that's why Isaiah says, "And the sons will turn to the fathers, and the old men will dream dreams, the young men will have visions." It's because God wants old people to dream. That's a sign of revival. When the bullies have ideas. When the old guys they've done it, it's worked for years. You chat to a lot of guys in business, no? It's worked like this for years. Prodding along. It's worked. You see them change there. "I'm going to start a new business." You don't hear, people who are like 50, 60, a lot of their language, it's like, "Oh, there's no work. If I lose, I need to keep my pension fund. Can't quit my job." Like, really? Like, the King of Kings is worried about your pension fund. Like, all due respect. But he's got so much more. And it's not just the young people that need a dream. It's not just Andrew coming down from a place of encountering God. Rather, it's us creating an environment and a culture where young and old can dream together. So I want to tackle some beliefs. Just going to say them out, and that alone can impact you. All dreams are important. All dreams are important. Whether it be, like, I know a young guy in the youth who's not here today, all he wants is a BlackBerry. And he's like been saving for it for like quite a while. And he's going around and he's getting everyone's BBM pins before he even has the BlackBerry, so that the day he gets it, he can add them all. Comes from a place of poverty, of hopelessness. He has dreams that will scare some of you. It scared me when he told me. I was like, "That won't work." He's like, "It will." And I was like, "Okay." Next belief: all dreams are powerful. Demonstrated in the last dream that I just shared right now. He just wants a BlackBerry. There was power in that. There was hope. There was a life. Creation is waiting for you. Romans 8, verse 18. The amazing thing about dreams is they only happen when we want them to happen and when we go after them. When we really, really want them to happen. God says, do you really value that? Is that a dream? And as soon as we realize he has all the resource waiting, and that's why he's asking, saying, I can pour my resource out onto anything you want to do. Is this what you want to do? Make it plain. Let God read it. Let him run with it. Some core beliefs that will affect your ability to dream. God is good all the time. In sharing dreaming, there's some, I could say, walls, just thought patterns that have hit some of your heads already. And you're saying, oh no. I mean, a lot of people have the arguments like, why would God really want to bless my dream? He has his own will, his own. God is good all the time. I have a purpose. God put you here for a purpose. And he put that purpose inside of you so that you can find it out. Because that's freedom. It's not freedom when God tells you what to do. It's freedom when he puts something inside of you and he trusts you so much. And he's so supportive of your dreams, even when they fail. He's not looking to get glory out of every single dream. Sometimes he just wants, you know, a young girl's dream might be to go to Wakaberry with all her friends. How does God get glory out of that? I don't know. But there is power in that dream. And all dreams are important. All dreams are powerful. And creation is waiting. Next belief. Nothing is impossible. We've heard it. We've heard that time and time again. Nothing is impossible. Next one, I put a little side note here, saying Corrine. I am responsible for me. If I have a dream, I mean, we say, he who has the vision gets the mission, or something like that. If you have the idea, you got to run with it. The reality is, that's freedom. Freedom is, I am responsible for myself. I have to go after my dreams. There's resource, there's power, there's heaven waiting to support me and love me, but I still have to go after it. For it to be my dream, I have to fulfill it. God wants to support you, but you know, if your dream is to be the president of South Africa, when you become president, you are still president. Although it's been God supporting you the whole time, it still has to be his own work. He has to work on his public speaking. Sorry if that was a joke. He has to, he's got a lot to work on. It's probably not the best illustration. But to go after that, to rise above every single other politician, the president has to really go after that dream. And greatness comes through serving. This is the last belief. Greatness comes through serving. And I've learned that from James. It's been amazing. That he's got huge ideas and visions. Massive. You must chat to him sometime. But he's realized that sometimes you just have to build what's in front of you. And you just have to get down in the dirt and serve. Thank you, James. So tonight, if we have a moment, I'd like you all to just find a friend, someone else here. I have some forms which I can give to you. You don't have to stick to them. There's a whole lot of stuff there. You can take it home. It's a breakdown of dreams. It's really interesting to read through some explanations on there. So as you all received the invitation earlier, my question is, are you ready? Are you ready to dream? Are you ready? When Moses comes down and says, people, God wants you to be his kingdom, his royal priesthood. Are you ready to create a culture that can dream? And then to put some context to this, I believe this is something that I feel is on my life. If you want to come and chat to me about your dreams, I'd love to hear about them. I think dreams are really cool, really fun to chat about. But it's not my responsibility to bring this dream culture to Highway. This is all of our responsibility, all of us. This can't be Steve's responsibility. This can't be James's responsibility. There's no way the church office can handle the amount of dreams that come from this church. If people come and suggest ideas and dreams, we need to, as a governing structure, you know, try work with what we have and try and make some support to it. But sometimes you just have to go after your own dreams and get your own support base. Because you are powerful. And because heaven is your resource, not Highway Christian Community's church office. Just to break that off you guys. You're free to dream with God. And it's an individual choice. And the culture comes in place when you support other people in their dreams. Not when they support you. Greatness comes through serving. So you got those all. It's really cool. Some nice illustrations there. Finally, to encourage you, get a dream board, a dream journal, write them in a computer, get a poster, get a box. Keep a list of stuff you've experienced and that's worked for you before. Time off.
Maybe just pray for everyone and ask the news around.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. The spaces are for you to write and just in between. Or you can get another, you can get a page for each dream thing if you want. Sorry. Thank you. Not enough space. Can tear them off. Yeah, I just thank you. If you guys just want to close your eyes, I thank you, Dad, that although this might be something contrary to expository preaching and what most people know, I just thank you that your presence can just come upon every single person here tonight. That we can all go up the mountain and just receive this invitation to dream with you. That you are so excited to dream with us. That you want to be our partner. You want to help us. You want lists and lists of our dreams so you can just, you can start planning how you're going to put this all together. So just release that over every single person here. Thank you all for the hearts that are hungry, that you can just give them some supernatural encouragement this week. Just prophetic words from just the most random people just to encourage their dreams. I thank you, Dad, that these papers won't get left on the floor here, but rather people can go home and just really put a significance on them. Put them on their fridges. Keep them. Just, yeah, go after them. In Jesus' name.